Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Play Your Hand by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
And let's read verse 38 through verse 40. Genesis 27, verse 38 through verse 40. And it reads, come on, read it with me. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword, come on, shall thou live and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break them off thy neck. Amen. You may be seated. This story here of the account of the patriarch Isaac and his two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau were twins in the womb, and Jacob always just had a spirit about him that he was just always trying to get over. And y'all know folks like that, just always got a get-over spirit, always scheming, always, they always got some angle, some game. And even as they were coming out the womb, as Esau is coming out first, being the firstborn, the Bible says that Jacob was holding onto his leg in the womb, trying to even fight and jockey for position even there. And so they were very competitive, especially Jacob towards his brother Esau. And here we have this story of the father, the patriarch Isaac, old, blind, eyes very dim, and he doesn't know exactly when he's going to die, but he knows he's old, and so he calls, as it was their custom day, he calls his son before him, and he would lay hands on them to give them their blessing. And remember, blessing is not things. The Bible, the first time we see the word blessing is in the context of man's creation. God said, and God blessed them, saying, blessing is by what's spoken, not by what's given, by what's spoken. What's given many times comes as a result of what's spoken. So he would bring them before him, and he would speak a blessing, which was an empowerment over their lives. And now we have this brother, Jacob, who, because of his mother, have tricked their father and tricked Esau, that he got the blessing, the laying of the hands and the speaking over him, what was supposed to be for his brother Esau. They tricked their father. Many of us know the story. Tricked the father, and by making the soup that he wanted, and then took sheep hair and put it over him because Esau was hairy and Jacob wasn't, and they deceived him. And even Isaac, he says, your voice sounds like Jacob, but your skin and your hair is like Esau. So they swindle the blessing from him. And so when he comes in and he has now spoken the blessing of the firstborn over the secondborn, that he would be wealthy, he would live off the fatness of the earth, the dew of heaven would be upon him. In other words, you're going to have it made. You will be blessed. He said, you will have plenty of corn and plenty of oil. He speaks a blessing of wealth and abundance over him. And then when Esau comes in to bring the soup that he really had gone to prepare for him, he told him to go hunt for it. He says, well, Father, where's my blessing? He said, your brother came in and I blessed him. He said, well, Father, don't you have a blessing for me? He said, I've spoken it and he shall be blessed. He said, and he begs his father, Father, can you give me, can you just say something good about me? Every child, the truth of the matter is, wants the blessing of a father. People can say all types of things today, but there's no replacement for mothers and there's no replacement for fathers. Amen. All you can do is be the best mother you can be, and all a father can do is be the man, best father that a father can be. A father cannot be a mother, and a mother can't be a father. That's how God ordained it to be. But he's crying out for his father's blessing. And then so finally, Isaac says something, and what he says over him, he says, behold, your blessings, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. He said, but then what I want to focus on is verse 40. He said, and by thy sword shall thou live. You're going to serve your brother, because I pronounced that his younger brother is going to have to be subject to him. You're going to serve your brother. He said, but it shall come to pass. Look, somebody say, it shall come to pass. Thank God it didn't come to stay. Amen. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion. Then you're going to break his yoke from off your neck. That was a promise right there. Because he said, when thou shalt have dominion. Not if you have dominion. You shall have dominion. And when you do, this yoke of servanthood, this yoke of being subject, this yoke of being second, this yoke of struggling. When you get to dominion, you're going to break it from off your neck. Now, that's enough to shout about right there. But let me give it to you from two other translations, Genesis 27 and 40. He tells Esau, you'll live by your sword and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, man, good luck. I can run around right now. When you decide to break free, you shall shake his yoke from off your neck. That sounds like he said, when you get tired of this, you will make a decision. I the Bible said time and chance happen for all. But this is what the Lord showed me years ago, that everyone's life, for better or for worse, is a culmination of decisions. Not how you started, but where you end up. Meantime, you have no control over how things got started, but you do have some control for how you end up. Come on, I'm a living witness on that. And so he said, when you decide to break free, you'll shake his yoke from off your neck. The Message translation says, you'll live far from earth's bounty. You're going to live remote from heaven's dew. He says, stuff ain't going to be easy for you. He said, you'll live by your sword, hand to mouth. And you'll serve your brother. But, somebody say but. But means like when Miss Sophia came home, stuff getting ready to change around here. But, that means we got what I said before. Something's getting ready to change. But when you can't take it anymore, you'll break loose and run free. Are y'all hearing this? King James Version, it says, when you shall have dominion. New Living Translation said, when you decide to break free. And Message Translation said, when you can't take it anymore. Somebody say, I can't take it anymore. It's something about when folk can't take something anymore. I told you, going back to my wrestling stuff. I told you, I just found out about 10 years ago it wasn't real. I got very disappointed. But when I was a little boy watching wrestling, there was this guy named Chief J. Strongbow. Anybody remember Chief J. Strongbow? Chief J. Strongbow was a Native American. And he would come in with his feathers and chief hat on, and they would just be beating on Chief J. And he would be, and they would keep beating on. Then all of a sudden, Chief J. Strongbow would go, they would beat Chief Strongbow till he couldn't take it no more. When he said, that's it, anything and everybody around him was going down. You got to get to the place that you stop tolerating certain kinds of stuff. With that, I heard someone, I wasn't going to mention the name, because I mentioned the name too much. I can't help it. I heard Bishop Jake say, somebody else can win with your hand. Those words changed my life. As much as you're complaining what you don't have, where things are, somebody else can win with your hand. What you see as a disadvantage, somebody sees as an advantage. What you see as a negative, somebody else sees as a positive. Now, I don't believe in divorce ideally, but I was out there greeting people today. One of the brothers said to me, I know he's gone through a divorce a couple years. He said, Pastor, you know, it's been 2 years. He's been 2 years. He said, and I know a little bit about his situation. And I know about a little bit of struggles when he was with his spouse. He said, Pastor, it's been 2 years. But I can tell you, there's been two of the happiest years of my life. Okay, now I don't want the excited, happy divorce people to wave at me right now. But some of y'all. He said, been two. He said, this has been, because, you know what? Because what somebody else is seeing as a negative, he said, thank God the Lord delivered me. Why should I be bound? Somebody else can win with your hand. The devil wants you to fold. The devil wants you to count yourself out. He wants you to give up, cave in, and quit. But I came to encourage you today with these words taken from cards. Play your hand. Look, somebody say, play your hand. I wanted y'all to see a card hand. I'm not trying to encourage gambling, encourage card playing, but I want you to get this point. That many times when you get a hand of cards, whether you're playing spades, I know that's y'all up in place. I never learned to play spades. I used to know a little bit about rummy, 500. Okay? But when you play, you can get mad all you want. But you can't necessarily get the cards redealt. You got what you got. Make it work. Stay in the game. Don't give up. Think yourself clear. Come on now. Be calculating. Imagine. And you got to see yourself winning with your hand. So how do you play your hand? Number one, you got to acknowledge the present. Too many people are in denial. There's an expression that in the last several years became very, very popular or just part of our regular vernacular now, and that is, it is what it is. Come on, look at somebody and say, it is what it is. It is what it is. It's acknowledging the fact that, hey, I can try to imagine this to be something else. It is what it is. Okay? This is a black suit, and I can't make this black suit a blue suit. It is what it is. Pastor Marshall and I, we got to change the lighting in our house because we still have the lights that look yellow, okay? And with the lights that look yellow, they can mess you up in the morning. See, because so I could think I had on a blue suit, and then I could find, and then I step outside and get them with under the, you know, the LED lights, or whatever. And I said, oh Lord, this is green. I thought it was blue. Okay. Now, if I mess up, have a wardrobe malfunction, and it's 7:45, and I got to get up here and preach, and it is what it is. There's certain things you cannot change the present. Coulda, shoulda, woulda doesn't change the current situation. In this case of the scripture, Esau has an old blind father. It is what it is. He has a manipulative and calculating mother who shows favoritism towards his younger brother. And he has a brother who's conniving and selfish and competitive and jealous. Look at somebody and say, it is what it is. Come on. My uncle Bishop Bailey in Jersey City used to say that you can choose your friends, you can't choose your relatives. It is what it is. You got crazy folks in your family right in this section. It is what it is. Now, you're either gonna just let them sit at the dinner for Thanksgiving or leave them in a room like on soul food or something. But it is what it is. You can try to hide them. You can try to act like you're not related to them. It is what it is. All of us have some dysfunction somewhere, either in ourselves or in our family. Somebody says, this is my family, it ain't me. All them crazy. I'm the same one in my family. Okay, if you think so. All of us, we have backgrounds, conditions, and circumstances over which we have no control or over which we had no control. And many of us, we may wish the circumstances of our birth were different. We wish the circumstances of our upbringing were different. Even that our socialization was different. But it is what it is. I look at my own children, and Tyler and my children, I'm not saying this with any type of pride. I believe that they're blessed to have me and Marcia as their parents. Okay? I look at my wife as a nurturing mother and how she is with my own children. And I say this sometimes, I wish my mother was like her. How she loves and cares and always speaks the right things and always on me. Don't say that. Encourage him. We used to go to Daniel's basketball game. He missed all the free throws, but I can't say nothing. Now, don't say nothing about him missing it. I said, he was a 10% free throw shooter tonight. I can't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Just say, good game. It was no good game. And some of us, we look at our friends and their parents and their upbringing and their circumstance. If I had that. If that was my mother, if my brother was like that, if I went to this school, if I came out of that community, it is what it is. You got to play your hand. Oh, don't get mad and walk out on me right now. Because this is not going to be a message about victimization. This is not going to be a message about blaming anybody. This is a message of despite whatever it is, I'm going to make something different happen. I'm going to break that yoke from off my neck. I'm tired of this, and I'm going to change my situation by playing my hand. So Jacob, dysfunctional family. And like Jacob, later on his brother, Joseph, also his son, Joseph, because he got to be careful, because dysfunction will promote dysfunction. Isn't it amazing how people say stuff like, I can't stand the fact that my mother did this, my father did, and then you'll do the same thing. Because if you're not conscious of breaking the cycle, it'll just continue. Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, he said, you are of your father the devil, and his deeds you're going to do. And so in order for dysfunction to be broken, you got to recognize what it is. Like Jacob, Joseph also had, his family now is dysfunctional. He had 10 older brothers who were jealous of him. Because his father showed him favoritism by giving him a coat of many colors. Genesis 37, 3 and 4 says, now Israel, who's Jacob now with a new name change, the one who has the blessing of prosperity over his life, he now becomes the progenitor of the Jewish people through the 12 tribes of Israel. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. How many of y'all know we got a problem now? Because he was a son of his old age. It was a pride thing. I thought I was done. Old man still got it. Every time I look at it, yes, sir. I did that. He loved him because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Back in the 70s, we call that psychedelic. Gave him a psychedelic coat. And when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Then his brothers became even more insecure about him after he shared the dream and the vision that God had shown him regarding his future. Joseph later now sold into slavery, but he had to play his hand until the vision and dream that God gave him. It took 15 to 20 years, but God showed him a dream of him dominating. God showed him a dream of his mother and father bowing down before him. God showed him a dream of him prospering, and he had to play his hand and not fold until it manifested. Like Esau and Joseph, David had a dysfunctional family consisting of an absent mother
Who's David's mother? Bible don't talk about it. We don't know anything about his mother. We know he was the son of Jesse. He had an absent mother. Then he had a despising father and jealous brothers. Joseph, David comes down to the battle. His brother's like, what you want? Go on somewhere. Go take care of your little sheep. All the brothers go off to war. His father, just stay on the back part of the land, take care of the little sheep. He's trying to give him some busy work. The prophet says, I'm going to come down. God's going to anoint the next king of Israel, and he's going to be one of your sons. Jesse calls all the boys, 7 of them. Don't even tell David. And so the prophet goes to count, and he gets ready to anoint one, and God said, no, this isn't him. And he said, don't you have another son? Jesse said, let me see. Oh, yeah. David. How would you like to, your father call all the sons and you forget you one of them? This is a dysfunctional family. And now, David gives us some clues as to what the situation was. And that's in Psalm 51 after he repents after committing adultery with Bathsheba. The Amplified says, Psalm 51 and 5, he said, behold, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The Amplified said, behold, I was brought forth in a state of iniquity. My mother was sinful who conceived me, and I am too sinful. So theologians tell us that most likely David was born outside the marriage. David is the boy that the daddy doesn't want folks to know what he did when he was younger. Dysfunctional. The circumstances of your birth are what they are. I was born. Told y'all I thought I was raised in a project. Bishop Bailey confirmed, no, boy, you were born in projects. I don't remember that. Went from one project, went to an apartment, then we moved to another project. Okay, born in the projects of Jersey City, New Jersey. My father, by the time I was 7 or 8, he had been to jail. When he was out of jail, he was a heroin addict. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the case. It's an opioid addiction. Back in the day, he was a junkie, but no. It's an opioid addiction. I remember going with him down to the methadone place where they took methadone and they would give me juice because I was with them. In and out of jail. My mother had four other children. None of them finished high school. My mother and father didn't finish high school. All my older brothers and sisters were high school dropouts. So a couple of them had babies by the time they were teenagers. And some of y'all said, why do you talk about it? Why do you tell that story? Because I want you to know you can play your hand. And one of the reasons why I always tell my story is because many of you think your situation is bad, but it wasn't quite that bad. Come on now. But when I look over my life, I realize I had to look at where I was and say, I don't have to stay here. Look at somebody and say, you can get there from here. No, you really, wherever you go in life, you get there from here. Oh, some of y'all need to think about that. Whatever you do in life, you get there from here. You don't go somewhere. No, you get there from here. You may have to make some stops along the way. You may have to switch up transportation along the way. But if you're going to go to Rome right now, you get there from here. You may go to Charlotte first and get a plane, and you may go to New York from there. But you get there from here. Wherever you're going in life, well, this is so profound. You get there from here. Come on, say, I can get there from here. So David played his hand, despite his father despising him, despite his sinful background, his shameful background. Father doesn't want to acknowledge him, but still he defeated the taunting giant bully called Goliath. And then he rose to become the second king of Israel. And now the progenitor of the royal line of Jesus Christ. Listen, you can't have your hand be dealt. But you can successfully play the hand you have.
Just as in a game of cards, God has dealt each of us a hand in life. It's up to us to figure out how to play that hand to win. Bishop Herbert Bailey gets practical in this timely message to encourage you to play the hand you've been dealt to win. Order this single message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Play Your Hand. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.